Chapter 84, A Pair of Peddlers. Before their marriage, Yosef Yitzchak told his Kala that he was a follower of Rav Yisrael Bal Shem Tov, a fact which delighted Devorah Leah. Ever since her mother had shared their family history and explained that the Mekubalim encouraged women to learn Torah, she had felt drawn to the ideas of the Bal Shem Tov and his followers. Yosef Yitzchak and Devorah Leah were thrilled to discover, as they made a number of decisions about their future life together, that they were in full agreement on all matters. Indeed, they had more in common than they had ever imagined. After their marriage, Yosef Yitzchak was given the position of Rosh Yeshiva in the Central Vitebsk Yeshiva. For the first time in years, Devorah Leah felt truly blessed. The long months of sadness and loneliness that began with the deaths of her parents melted away, and she began a new and happy stage in her life. Only one thing disturbed Devorah Leah's joy. She did not know what had happened to her younger brother or where in the world he might be. He had not been seen nor heard from since the day he vanished from their parents' house, soon after the Shiva for her father had ended. As time passed, Devorah Leah began to realize how very special Yosef Yitzchak was, and she came to appreciate his exceptional mind. One day, soon after their marriage, she asked her husband to explain why he had become a follower of the Baal Shem Tov. He explained that his own father had been a follower of the Baal Shem Tov for many years, ever since a series of interesting events took place long before his birth. And this is what Yosef Yitzchak told Devorah Leah. Sharya, where Yosef Yitzchak grew up, was a small, quiet town in Volhynia, with about 55 Jewish families. Like most other towns in those days, the Jewish community was split. There was a small group of Talmidei Chachamim, and the rest of the community was simple and uneducated. Most men in Sharya struggled to read the davening and chapters of Tehillim, and they did not know much else at all. On the other hand, even the simplest Jews were outstanding in their Yiras Shemayim and perfect faith in Hashem. The men would come to Shul regularly, but without knowing how to read or write, they were unable to follow the davening. Instead, they would recite the Shema and the parts of davening that they had heard since childhood and could repeat from memory. The Rav of the town was Rav Shmuel Akiva. He was not the greatest Talmud Chacham, but he was especially righteous. One way that he would express this was by afflicting himself. This was the way of training himself to be distant from the physical world and from his own body. He wanted to lose interest in physical pleasures and his bodily needs so that he could focus instead on holiness and on drawing ever closer to Hashem. And so, for 50 years, Rav Shmuel Akiva fasted each week from one Shabbos to the next, and he undertook other afflictions as well. Although he was the Rav of a small town, Rav Shmuel Akiva dealt mainly with the Talmidei Chachamim. He wanted little to do with the uneducated members of his community. Rav Shmuel Akiva would often deliver speeches to the townsmen that left them feeling terrified and worthless and ashamed of their ignorance. He would describe the awful punishments and suffering in Gehenna that awaited anyone who did not follow the proper path of the Torah. One of Sharya's simple Jews was a peddler named Kerpel, who traveled from one village to another, going from door to door to sell his wares. At the end of each week, he would return home to spend Shabbos with his wife. On his return to Sharya each Erev Shabbos, he would first visit the home of the Rav and give his share of the community tax that each family had to pay weekly. This money was used to support the institutions of Torah and Chesed in the community, such as the Beker Chaylim Society that aided the sick, the Hechnasas Kala Fund that assisted brides and grooms, the Malbish Arum organization that helped struggling families with clothing, and the local Talmud Torah. After he gave the required amount to the Rav, Kerpel would make his way to the shul and drop a few coins into the tzedakah box. Only then would he return home and present his wife, Tzipa Bracha, with his remaining earnings. Tzipa Bracha would then set off to buy the necessary supplies for Shabbos, while Kerpel would begin his own preparations. Among other things, He would carefully clean his boots and he would visit the public bathhouse. Caribou was unable to read a single letter. He had learned the most basic davening, Shema and Amida, by heart. He recited these with many mistakes, but with deep feeling and powerful concentration. Tzipa Bracha, too, was an extremely simple woman. Like her husband, she was filled with Yiras Shamayim. Her father, Yosef Yitzchak, had been the bath attendant of Sharia. He had, in fact, been quite a scholar, and he probably would have tried to get her married to a Talmud Chacham. But sadly, he passed away while Tzipa Bracha was a young girl, and she eventually married the illiterate Caribou. Caribou and Tzipa Bracha lived together in perfect harmony. Their joy was dampened by the fact that after many years of marriage, they had not merited to have children. Finally, however, the gates of heaven opened for them, only to be followed by tragedy when their baby died soon after birth. The same heartbreak repeated itself again and again. Caribou and Tzipa Bracha were left lonely and terribly sad. On one of his journeys between villages, Caribou met another peddler, a man by the name of Hirsch. The two of them decided to team up and travel together to sell their wares. Caribou noticed that Hirsch's lips were continually moving. He tried his best to hear what his friend was muttering nonstop, but he couldn't. After some time, Caribou's curiosity got the better of him, and he asked Hirsch to explain why he was constantly whispering to himself. Hirsch was taken aback, as if someone had discovered a secret he was keeping. But he collected himself and replied, "Right now, I am reviewing a chapter of Mishnah by heart. Whenever I can, I visit the nearest base medrash and learn Gemara. But while I travel along the roads, I have no choice but to simply repeat whatever Torah I remember by heart. Chapters of Tanakh and Mishnah." Caribou was very impressed and could not stop thinking about Hirsch's reply. One day, as the two peddlers made their way towards a village, Caribou suddenly burst into bitter tears. "What's wrong?" cried Hirsch in concern. "How can I not cry?" replied Caribou. "I'm jealous of you. You learn Torah and even know how to repeat entire chapters by heart. Just look at me. I cannot even read from a book. I am a total ignoramus." Hirsch placed his hand on Caribou's shoulder. "Every situation can be fixed," he told him gently. "You know what? When we reach the next Jewish village, we will visit the Beis Medrash, and I will teach you Aleph Beis." Caribou could not believe his ears. No one had ever before considered him worth teaching. He thanked his friend with all his heart, feeling like the luckiest man alive.